intern at the church that we worked at when I was in Las Vegas, the first ministry that I was in after the military. And it's kind of an interesting story. It's really kind of a miracle story. When we were leaving North Carolina, well, if we back up a little farther, I was actually in the church in North Carolina where Amy and Wanda and their family was. And when we were getting ready to leave, our lease was up and we didn't have a place to live until everything was done and we got to leave town. And so Miss Wanda, raise your hand, Miss Wanda. Miss Wanda and her husband Felix and Amy at the time was senior in high school, let us stay with them. And so we lived with them, Ashley and I and Cammie lived with her for a couple of weeks. And then we moved out to Las Vegas. And then our pastor said, you know, I want to do like a summer intern program and want to bring kids out and work them to death. And we said, oh, we know a young lady that would love to get worked to death out here. And we said, what's her name? And showed her a picture of Amy, and they invited her to come out. And then she stayed with us, I believe, stayed with us over the summer and worked in 120 degrees, knocking doors. And she was our live-in, psychologist, nurse, nanny. I don't know. She was the only thing really sane when Austin was born. That says enough itself. I don't have to say anything else. But, anyway, so it's just been a blessing. We got reunited last night, and it was just a blessing to see him. So, Wanda, thank you for ministering to my family. Whew. That's a long time ago. I was younger, and I was skinny. Man, I was so skinny. Like this, like Preston skinny. That's how skinny I was. Let's get into the Bible. Proverbs 17 and verse 4. The Bible says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Could we read that word, that verse together? Ready? Begin. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a haughty tongue. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about what bends your ear. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible, and thank you that we can read it and study it. Lord, tonight I'm asking that you'd grant us all wisdom. You'd help us to volunteer our ears, Lord, that we would have ears to hear, the willful choice to listen to the Holy Spirit tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, that you'd help me, to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain, that I could be filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that I would please you. And God, I offer myself to you as a mouthpiece, that you would use me tonight and preach through me your message. Lord, help me to be an encouragement tonight and help me to be a blessing. Lord, I want to spend and be spent for these dear people. And God, I believe that this message could be a help to people in this room tonight. And so I pray that you'd withhold from my lips those things that would be a hindrance to your Holy Spirit or an offense to these dear people that are here tonight. But rather, help me to be obedient, say only in all of those things that you'd have me to say for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Just in case some of you have been living in a bubble, I want to remind you tonight that we are all surrounded by evil. Everywhere we look, everywhere we turn to, we are surrounded by evil. In fact, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the conclusion is, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. The intimation is that it's not just around us, but it's on the move, that it's trying to take more, that it's trying to distract, it's trying to do everything it can, evil that is, to delay or disrupt the working of God in our lives. In fact, not only are we surrounded by it, not only is it on the move around us, but it's actually within us. The Bible says in Romans 7 and verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, listen, evil is present with me. Now that's something that most of us don't like to think about. Most of us like to think about, well, I'm saved and I'm good to go. Yeah, there's evil all around us. But no, in reality, according to that verse, the Apostle Paul had it in him. And if the Apostle Paul had it in him, I'm pretty sure it's in me. And I think if it's in me, it's probably in the majority of us here at least. The Bible says, then I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, that is the evil, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is again in my members. So Paul concludes the fact that there is a resident evil, not just present outside of our tabernacle or outside of this church, but it's in here. And I don't mean just in this building, I mean in here. It's in all of us. The reminder of the resident evil is a very timely one because we can become so used to it, that is, both inside and around us, we can become so used to it that we become indifferent to it and eventually will lead us into the wrong conversation and may change the spiritual paradigm of our lives. Now, this proverb then, written by Solomon, is another statement intended to build the spiritual character of the one to follow in succession to the throne. Now remember, he's writing this and he says, my son, and he's pleading with the one following him. And I believe, as we've stated many, many times, that God does the same with us. In other words, as we are supposed to be following Christ, as we're supposed to be joint heirs with Christ, that God takes time as we study a little here a little and there a little, line upon line, here a precept and there a precept. I think he wants us to be reminded that you live in an evil world. And the evil world is working in conjunction with the evil in your heart. And they like each other. And they like to do things together. And if we're not careful, we will just dismiss it as it's really non-influential. When in all reality, I don't think that there's anyone in this room who has not been influenced by the evil around us. Every one of us have been. To what we listen to on the radio, to what we allow ourselves to watch on the television, God in his perfect timing then has brought to our attention tonight a statement that is more about the listener, however, than it is the speaker in terms of sin. I want you to notice the passage again in 17:4. The Bible says, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. So the principle, the underlying principle or the crux of this verse is not in the wicked doer as much as what he's giving heed to, or why is someone listening? Okay, notice what it says. A wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So twice here, instead of being contrasting, they're coinciding, and the Holy Spirit's trying to say, now I want you to get the attention here, I want to get your attention, and I'm not talking about the one speaking as much as I'm talking to the one listening. Okay, now I want you to take her, Alan. I want to give you three rational reminders then of what may be bending your ears and why. First of all, I want you to understand by way of what God brings to our attention here, the existence of evil. The existence of evil. And I want you to notice the terms of degeneration that God brings into play here. And he uses four terms, and you can underline them separately in your Bible. The Bible uses the word wicked. A wicked doer giveth heed to. And then I want you to notice the word false. The Bible uses the word false lips. And then notice the next word, a liar giveth ears to a naughty tongue. So here God's describing a specific individual. Now the word wicked is the Hebrew word that simply means evil. It means to be displeasing, if you will, to God, or injurious, in fact. So it's not just evil by way of action as it includes the root. So from the root then bears the action. So it's kind of identifying a heart motive there. And then the word false means troubled. It means wicked or vain. It's almost as if the Holy Spirit of God is reiterating the same word in a different sense, using a different Hebrew word. The word false there, oh, I said that. The word liar is just simply fraudulent. But it also has to do with being self-deceived and then being deceptive in its action or in its verbiage. Then the word naughty. We don't use the word naughty as the Bible would indicate what it is. We would just use the definition. The word is perverse. It is wicked, a wicked desire engulfing ruin. We use the word naughty as in though, or at least we used to. Those kids are naughty. Or I don't want you to be naughty, I want you to be nice. So we have naughty and nice. Girls are naughty, boys are nice. Or maybe it's the other way around, I'm not sure. But anyway, you get the idea. So these terms then are terms that would be used synonymously with someone who's unsaved. Would you agree? I mean, that's natural. You wouldn't expect the truth to come from a liar who's a child of disobedience because they don't know any better. Unsaved people do unsaved things. We've learned that many, many times. So these terms then are synonymous with the unsaved lifestyle, and that would make sense then. So we notice then in your notes, Luke 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And then it defines again the other side. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. And then the conclusion is, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So eventually what's inside is going to come out, right? Okay. And then the Bible goes on, Proverbs 6 and verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. So again, these are terms that would be used to describe the degenerate lifestyle. This would be the norm, all right? Secondly then, in light of that, in light of the Bible uses the word wicked and false and liar and naughty, and in the context of the verse, now look at it again, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and the liar giveth ear to a haughty tongue, then you understand this matter of deception is, letter B, the temptation of the devil. It's the deceiver himself, right? The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a, help me, liar. He is a liar, and he is the father of it. So where did lying come from? The devil. Yea, hath God said? I mean, that was the first lie. No, yes, he did say, and now you're leading people in a lie. So now you get the idea then that the temptation of Satan is to deceive people into believing something contrary to God. That would be the definition of a lie, all right, against the truth. So then it would make sense then that that these individuals, albeit whether they're wicked or not, whether they're naughty or not, but the false lips and the lying tongue are the tools of the devil. So you have verses like in Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So then in the next verses, it just describes all this great lifestyle if you'll just give in to the deceit. So I think you understand. Now notice the quote in your notes here by Cotton Mather. That there is a devil is a thing doubted by none, but such as are under the influence of the devil. So those that would take for granted or forget to think about, or people who would even dismiss the existence, perhaps even the audacity of the devil, are the ones that are deceived into thinking that he's not even real, and yet they're under his very control. So I want to go on record to say tonight, I do not believe that the majority of us here would deny the existence nor the presence of evil, but I would venture to say that more of us are more influenced by it than we care to think. Okay? So I wanted to start just with the existence of evil. Secondly, let's look at the exercise of evildoers. All right? As the Bible describes them, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar, which is likened to the wicked doer, giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So, I want to read this statement then, and I want you to understand something. When the heart hides iniquity, listen very carefully. When the heart hides sin or iniquity, the ear readily gives heed to lying lips and an evil tongue. Now, it would be natural to say those that are living the lie, which is the lost life, if we really wanted to boil it down, they're living a lie. They're thinking that they'll be okay when they're not okay. Everybody listening? They're thinking that no, God will give mercy when I get there, or I can go to heaven another way. That's a lie. So they're living a lying life. Those then who are unjust, those that are unsaved, those that are unrighteous, those that are unsanctified in soul, then readily fall in with those alike. And that's the idea here. So then a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. They're a help to him. They're an encouragement to him. They help justify his life. Makes sense. The next part of the verse says, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So I want you to think about the exercise of evildoers and considering where their ears go. First of all, their heart and their ears are both tuned to deceit. They're listening for it. That's what they are likened to because they're unsaved. That makes complete sense. The Bible even describes the children of Israel in Jeremiah 5 and verses 30 and 31 as people who were in tune with the lying deceit of false prophets. Notice what it says in Jeremiah 5 and verse 30 in your notes. A wonderful and a horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets, notice, prophesy falsely and the priests bear rule by their means, watch, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? God says, all of these people are preaching lies, they're living lies themselves, and you love to have it that way. In other words, your heart is so calloused and so not listening to my truth, you have tuned your ear to this falsehood. You have bent yourself to being influenced by Satan and by these wicked doers. Now, I want you to trace this then through the Word of God with me, through the book of Proverbs. I want you to go back to Proverbs 10 with me in verse 32 and want you to see this. The unjust, the unsaved, the evildoers, their ears are tuned to deceit, like a radio station. It's the frequency that they like to, when they push their favorites and they push the number one select on their stereo, it immediately goes to whatever the lie is of the day, whatever will help them, whatever will soothe their conscience. Proverbs 10, notice if you will in verse 32, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. So not only are they listening to it, they like to speak it. Why? Because they're tuned that way. Notice chapter 12 and verse 5. Proverbs 12 and verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are what? Deceit. So they're tuned that way. Notice again in Proverbs 15 and verse 28. The Bible says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out what? Evil things. That's the way they're tuned. Every once in a while, you have to get your car tuned up because it's running a little rough. Well, they only have one tune. The tune is to pervert the truth, to spread the lie, and they like to listen to it. Why? Because it makes them feel good. If they're living a lie, they're certainly not going to want to be in company with those of the truth, right? Because they don't have anything in common with them. Everything that they're living would be contrary to the truth that God teaches in the Word of God. So they're tuned to each other. They're tuned to the lie. Secondly, not only are they tuned, but they're tethered to one another. They're connected, and they like it thus. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 12, notice this, the wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. Proverbs 21 and verse 10, the Bible says, the soul of the wicked desireth evil or other evil ones. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Proverbs 16, 29, a violent man, listen, enticeth his neighbor and leadeth him into the way that is not good. They're all tethered. They're all tethered alike. And they're going down this way because it's an encouragement. It's a help to them. It's natural. Now, let me be very specific in saying that thus far, none of this surprises you. Would you agree? None of it does. It makes complete and utter sense. You expect that sinners will fall in with sinners. That's normal. You would expect that lost people would be with lost people, that wicked people with wicked people, liars with liars. We would say that they are in tune with each other because they are in tune with the world. They are in tune with the flesh. They are in tune with the devil. Now, if that's the case, who are you in tune with? Because that's the application part of the verse that's not there. He's speaking to his son. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. So you have to reason, Lord, this verse doesn't apply to me, which is totally not true. It has everything to do with us. It's in the Word of God. Would you agree with that? So if it's in the Word of God, God obviously meant it for our admonition. He meant it for our learning. Because then of salvation, because we are saved, it does not vaccinate me. Because I'm saved, I'm not vaccinated from hearing the lies of the world. I'm not. Paul was not exempt. Because I'm saved and the Holy Spirit lives in me, does not mean that I am immune to the lies and the cry of the wicked one. It's not how it works. I didn't get born again and God didn't come and inoculate me and make me immune to temptation. In fact, the Bible says, but every man is tempted. That's what it says. It doesn't say, well, only these kind. No, no, no. Every individual, saved or lost, is tempted. The Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So then, we have to recognize and be reminded that there is an existence of evil, not just without, but within. We also need to understand that the exercise naturally of not just those that would be unsaved, those that we would consider unjust or unrighteous or unsanctified, the natural behavior as evildoers would be to be tuned to the lie. It would be tuned and tethered to other deceivers because misery loves company. All right? Now, so let's look then, number three, at the ear of the righteous. And I want you to consider this. I want you to go back and I want you to read this verse with me again. And I want you to put on your thinking caps. Verse 4, a wicked doer, identifying an individual, giveth heed to false lips. And a liar, identifying another individual based on what they do, giveth ear or starts to listen to or bends his ear to the naughty tongue. So he doesn't stop someone from maligning someone else. He doesn't stop someone from being critical. It doesn't stop someone from being judgmental. He listens to it and he has no problem with it. He feeds on it. He doesn't have a problem with the perverseness of the world, or he doesn't have a problem with what the devil gives out. Why? Because it's natural. So it is then the upright heart as our responsibility. Now, he's saying this and saying, now look, I just want to remind you, this is what unsaved people do, right? But you're not unsaved. Okay? So this is normal behavior for those people who are evil. Those people who have not the Spirit of truth. Those people who have not the Word of God. Those people who are not any of His. Now, then the upright, those that are saved, have to learn to discern. They have to learn to discern the voice of the deceiver. Then they have to refuse the influence of the unrighteous. That's our job. He's saying this is normal for those individuals, but you're not those. You don't go by the same beat. That's the whole New Testament in the age of grace is you're not your own. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Be ye holy as I'm holy. So, there are only two ways then to influence my heart. Now, the evil man, remember back in what we read in the gospel? The evil man, out of the evil in his heart, produces evil fruit. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces that which is good. Okay? So there's only two ways to get to my heart. Through my eyes, through my ears. Here he's speaking to that one gate that we really don't think of very much. Oh, we're good at trying to block our eyes because this is a visual society. But what about the ears? I'm not here to preach on rock music. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe it's godly. I think if you're allowing your kids to listen to it, you're living in sin. You need to get right. Amen. Okay? Whether you agree with me, it's fine or not. I can prove it from the Bible. You could probably could too, but you're just ignoring it. Okay? That was free. But I'm not preaching on that. I'm preaching on anything that's not true. Anything that's not holy, anything that's not just, anything that's not pure, anything that's not of good report, that's being said, I shouldn't be listening to. Because criticism, unjustified or justified, always brings down authority. It always tears down. So the two gates that we know of to get into my heart go through my eyes and my ears. Those two gates control the flow of information. So then based on content and presentation, a person is tempted to listen and be influenced by. But based on discernment and discipline and devotion, the ear of the righteous will not listen to falsehood, will not take heed to wickedness or listen to perverseness. So once again, the resounding principle that Solomon laid way back in Proverbs chapter 4 is that the heart of the problem is always the problem of the heart. So then, keep thy heart with all diligence. Listen to the verse. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee the froward mouth, and perverse lips put not from thee. The next verse talks about keep thine eyelids right on. Look not to the right hand. So he addresses both gates in one section of Scripture. Okay? Now, the ear of the righteous, let's just think about that. We know what the wicked does, the unsaved. What are the saved supposed to do? Well, the saved are supposed to be tuned by the heart. The saved ear is always tuned by the heart. We know this because Paul said to the church at Corinth, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. He said, I want you to be very careful that what you listen to doesn't corrupt and influence and affect greatly the way you live your life. All the good that you know, all the good that you've been living can be taken away that quick by what you're listening to. Now, when the heart then hides iniquity, the ear readily gives heed to lying lips and wicked way. So then when a Christian is not sitting with the Lord, is not walking with the Lord, is not speaking with the Lord, they will be speaking with, sitting with, and walking with someone else. Then the heart that covereth sin cannot and shall not ever prosper. So then when I hide sin in my heart, I don't care how small, I don't care how large, when I hide that in my heart, righteousness tunes out and I give my ear to the deceiver. So when you're backslidden, be very careful, because that's how you go farther back. Because you're not listening to the truth anyway, because you're living in sin. There's bitterness, there's anger, there's covetousness, there's adultery, fornication, sorcery, you name it. You can go through any list in the Bible. I don't care how you try to justify it. God has labeled all of our sin in one category or another, and it's given it all a name. And he sent Jesus to die for it all. Amen. That's what he did. In that case, God says, if you're hiding any one of those, it's going to be natural that you're going to give ear to more. The individuals who are not right with God can go into the nursery, can go into Sunday school classroom, they can go to the foyer, and if something is not sitting well with the Spirit, it's sin in the church where ears are giving heed to lies or to gossip or to other sin. And instead of helping the cause of Christ, it just gets bigger and bigger, the tumor that's sitting inside. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand how important it is to keep thy heart with all diligence and to make sure that your ears are tuned by your heart? And if your heart is not tuned by the Holy Spirit, then you've got issues. You've got sin. If you're allowing the world to have a greater influence on your heart, my friend, you will sit in these services, you will not care what's preached, you will not care where the Holy Spirit's leading you, and you'll go back out worse than when you came in because you're not listening. Now, you'll still be responsible, you'll still be accountable, you'll stand before Christ for it, but if your heart is not tuned, your ears are never going to listen. Your ears are tuned by your heart. That is why the psalmist said, let thy words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I will be helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Why? Because the ear is tuned by my heart. He already prefaced that 13 chapters ago. Keep thy heart. Why? Because if you get your heart right, your ears will be right. We always say it like this. Teenagers, make sure that you cut the head off the snake. Shut your ears to what they're saying. Listen to right music. That way you'll keep your heart. No. Keep your heart and you don't have to worry about your ears. That's the better way to approach it. It's always a heart matter, always. All the teenagers are like, oh great, there goes all my music collection. Tuned, the ear of the righteous is tuned by the heart. Secondly, it's tempered by truth. Tempered, purified, made ready, strengthened, usable. The Bible says, O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Order my steps in thy truth and let not iniquity have dominion over me. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Five times in the Psalms, God says, give ear, O my people. Give ear, O my people. Give ear, O my people. What's he saying? I want you to listen. I want you to let my truth do the work in your heart. And I want what you hear from me to temper your life. Well, I tell you what. The truth is, you're never going to recognize the lie if you're not paying attention to the truth. You know the key to breaking away from all of the world? It's not that hard. Well, I should say it's not that difficult. It could be hard. The key to breaking, but I really like this music. I really like that girl. She's cute. I really like that guy. He's really handsome. He's got a lot of money and a cool car. I want to do what the world does. Why should, now this is crazy, why should the world have all the fun? Can't Christians have fun? They can, but they don't have fun like the world. What? Did I just go there? I did. Because there's a great difference between the holy and the profane. And we're supposed to be holy. Now, that being the case, I have to be sensitive to the truth. So what's the key? How do I set me, my family, this church, free from the lie? That I have to do this to be cool, that I have to go there to be happy, that I have to have those things in order to be content. I just submit to Christ. How do you break free from addiction? How do you make church the principal priority? How do you have a great marriage? How do you raise godly kids in a sinister society? I'll tell you how. Just cling to Jesus. Let Jesus decide. When I don't know what to do, I'm not doing anything that the world dictates. I'm going to go to the truth, and I'm free. Because that's what truth does. Sets you free indeed. Now, if I'm really going to have the right outlook on life, I've got to have a right heart, and my ear better be tempered by the truth. Tempered. Thirdly, then, it's automatic that if I'm going to have the right heart and I'm going to have the ear of the righteous, then I'm turned off by error. I'm just turned off by it. It doesn't appeal to me. I don't want to live that way. It's not pleasing to God. It's not pleasing to me. If I'm going to protect my heart, I'm going to do that which is right, then I only want the truth. I will behave myself, David said, wisely in a perfect way. And when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Listen, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. He made the distinction. I am turned off by it. I don't want to be around it. I don't want to be influenced by it. So I'm just going to stick to the truth. That means that I hate those that turn aside. I'm not going to befriend them. I'm not going to let them influence in me. And I'm sure is not going to let them have my children. Amen. The Bible says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. You see, when you cling to the Lord, you got to let go of the world. It's kind of how it works. I don't get to hold on to the Lord and hold on to the world and be happy. I'm going to be split apart like a wishbone. And guess who's always going to lose? The Lord. Always. Always. Why? Because of resident evil. It's already pulling me this way. So I have to break loose and I have to grab a hold of all. Because if I cannot be his disciple, if I love my mother, father, sister, brother, world, or even my own life, if I do that, I can't be his disciple. Can't follow him. Now, it's very interesting that in the context, the broader context of Scripture, Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? You should obey not the truth. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He reiterates the question a different way in Galatians 5:7. He goes, let me just say it a different way. You did run well, but who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth. He wants to know who? Why? Because the Bible says a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips. And a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. So, who or what is bending your ear is probably what has captured your heart. It's natural for unsaved people to give heed to seducing spirits. But the righteous are supposed to be peculiar. Their hearts are supposed to be kept so that their ears are going to be turned off by error. Yeah, I know that's what everybody else is doing, but I'm not going to do it. Yeah, I know that's what, you know, Hollywood says is cool, and that's what, you know, seems to be going on, but I don't think Jesus would be pleased with that. We're not going to talk that way. We're not going to go that way. We're not going to act that way because I'm listening to truth. So let me say this tonight. It's imperative that we all listen to the truth. But as dads, it's imperative even more so, because you've got people following you. You've got to let your heart be in tune with the Spirit, because your heart tunes what you listen to. Father, I love you, and I thank you so much for the Word of God, the simple truths that we find in